Hallelujah, Jesus.
Praise you, Father.
We exalt you, Jesus.
Praise your holy name, Lord.
We magnify you.
Praise you, Jesus.
Glorify you, Jesus.
Praise you, Father.
Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
It's not by might and it's not by power.
Yes, Lord.
When I found myself weak, Lord, I found that you are the strongest in me. My dependency, the weakness of my flesh, switched over to your strength. We call ourselves strong in the Lord. None of ours, not of our might, not of our power, not of our works or doing. Your strength is made perfect in our weakness. We turn ourselves over to you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Your love is stronger than any weakness that could come against us. We love you. We love you, Jesus. Your strength is perfected in us. Your grace is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. We do not bow to the temptation in our flesh. We do not bow to the temptation in the spirit and the mind, whatever realm the enemy comes. But your grace is sufficient. And when it appears that we are our weakness, we say, Lord, we have received and become strong in the Lord. We receive that grace. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, again and again and again that we see your faithfulness throughout your word. Your word, Lord, you've exalted above your name. You've said that heaven and earth would pass, but your word would never pass away. And we thank you and give you all the praise and all the glory. And we bless you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Share a little bit of the word tonight. Would you take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. It's a little bit out of center. And I'll be concentrating on that the whole service. Got to be lined up. You lay blocks for years. You kind of get a... You have to lay those corners up plumb. And so you see things out of level or out of plumb and you think, I got to fix that. I got to fix it. I got to fix it. My wife keeps a real clean house, but she has to clean up at me all over. She follows me out. The only thing that does aggravate me is if I see a picture that's leaning. I got to fix that. Hallelujah. Praise God. We bless you, Jesus. Thank you for your anointing right now. Lord, we're not just getting by. We're going forward with a purpose. And our tomorrow is bringing a destiny in all of our lives. The enemy does everything he can to camouflage that destiny and tell us that we're living in so much of the same. But I thank you, Father, that our days are changing and that we are progressing from glory to glory. And we are ever changing towards that image which will produce divine seed in the earth. We worship you, Father. We thank you for your Spirit that is upon us now. We receive grace and we bless you and we bless your people that you love so much. And we give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to be in a few different places, but if you'll find a place there in Matthew chapter 6, or 7 rather, and you may want to go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 6. And then we may be in Luke chapter 11, but that'll be easy enough to get to. Some of this is much of what you've maybe heard before, even meditated yourself. But I was seeing some things this afternoon that was amazing to me, possibly in a little different light. And even if it was in the same light, it's worth repeating over and over again. When you get to the end of chapter 6 of Matthew, of course, this is where Jesus is talking about the provisions of your Father and everything that He lays out for you. And He puts it in such simplistic terms. It's the fullness of Jesus is where He walks and where He walked with His Father. He taught in such simplicity. And sometimes it's hard for us to catch the gravity of it unless we slip into the Spirit. I've said so many times before, and for me, it bears repeating, that some of my strongest prayers are just so simple. And they're just so few of words. When I get inspired and He comes on me and I pray, I pray and enjoy it. But the release of power sometimes comes with such simplicity. Jesus was teaching with this simplicity. He was talking about lilies of the field and birds that don't sow, and yet they're able to be fed every single morning by their Father. And He ends this chapter, although there was no chapters, but He ends that particular part, it seems as if He does, by saying, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you." What things? The things I just talked about, that you should never worry about your provision, because that's what the Gentiles, and He was not talking about a specific nationality. He was talking about those yet to come into the kingdom. They don't know the Father like we're supposed to get to know the Father. So that all these things are without question. So that all these things are just a matter of going and doing, and He provides in our going and doing. The proximity of what He says next concerning our brothers and how we love them and how that we treat them in relationship to His ability to get over to us is amazing to me. We see it pretty distinctly over in Luke chapter 6. We see it pretty distinctly there, that interweaving of God's ability in many cases. And I say it's His ability is always there. It's always the access to get it over to us. He always wants to get it over to us. But here in Matthew chapter 7, 6 winds up with Him telling us He wants to do all this. And then He doesn't change necessarily the subject, but He's talking about His provision. And then He talks about how that we treat each other and treat our brothers. And I'll read some of these verses and then we'll go to Luke. But 7:1 says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you." And of course, when we compare what we're going to read in Luke 6 and then 11, the measurement here is the measurement of love and mercy. The measurement here is how you see what you see through the eyes of God. He says in verse 3, "Why behold thou the mote that is in your brother's eye, and consider not the beam that is in thine own eye?" I don't believe the Lord is trying to find fault here with either one. He's trying to talk about something that is absolutely, it's so imperative that we learn. There's a number of things that you're going to see here. you're going to see His provision as it's linked up with love, and as it's also linked up with the love that brings forth intercession one for another. And when He says that there's no reason to pull out the mote, that's King James for a splinter, when there's a beam, something much larger that's in your own eye, He says this, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye." Interesting enough, He says in verse 6, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearl before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." He says this, "Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Now this asking and seeking and knocking is for a purpose. It's for the purpose of the one that is free enough that they're able to look at a situation and say, "I want to be a part of the solution. I don't want to be a part of the problem." And so the asking and the seeking and the knocking here is not the asking and the seeking and knocking that's normally taken out of context for more stuff, because He just said in the previous chapter that the way you get stuff, He didn't say it that blatantly, but in essence, the sanctified stuff comes by you yielding to Him as your Father. Well, then yielding to Him takes on another proportion. What's the next step in yielding? The next step in yielding is walking as His son or His daughter and seeing things through His eyes, so that when you're running into faults, when you're running into things that need to be helped in other people's lives, then there is an asking and there's a seeking and there's a knocking. But the amazing part about that is this. That part, really, is behind closed doors. That part is, in essence here, He's describing for us a ministry that takes place in an asking, in a posture of prayer, in a place of seeking, which is prayer. And it's a ministry that says, "Lord, I want to help them. I want to help them fulfill their ministry. I want them free." It's not a open ministry. It's a behind-the-scenes ministry. Let's read just a little bit more. "For everyone," I read this, but I'll read it again, 8. "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." In other words, God will come on the strength of your prayers. "Or what man is there of you on whom his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them which ask Him?" In another translation, or not translation, but another gospel says, "How much more will your Father give the Holy Ghost?" So the Holy Ghost comes in the ministry of this. We'll probably be back there, so if you can pinch a place there or hold a place there, but go to Luke chapter 6. The end of chapter 6, of course, you see there's a lot of words in red, but Jesus says in verse 47, "Whosoever cometh unto me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built his house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house, it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. That's the one I want to be. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, that built his house upon the earth, against which the streams beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. Of course, it's easy enough, or should be easy enough, to say the sayings. What sayings? They're in this whole chapter previously. Going back to verse 28, this is one of his sayings. Or verse 27, easy enough to hear what he says by what he says here. But I say unto you, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you, and to him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take away thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. And if you love them which love you, what think have ye? For sinners also love those who love them. Verse 35, but love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be called, or shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful, and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not. Now see, there's the other thing too, because we do need to back up, or I need to back up, because when he's talking Matthew 7, for me, I don't want you to hear that we're just talking about brothers and sisters. Our ministry is far more than that. It's reaching out there to the world. And those people out there are potential brothers and sisters. And they're part of a family, but they're part of the family that just hasn't been brought in yet. And he's wanting us as ambassadors of Christ to bring them in. So our ministry to them, it's so easy oftentimes to put that in church, a church picture. Judge not. Well, I see my brother, he's got a fault. Listen, I can recognize the problems going on out there in the world. But still, we'll go back to it in just a moment. The thing that you have, the most precious thing that you have, is the behind the scenes, closed door, closed closet ministry of calling on your Father to change people's lives. That's the pearls that we have to give to people. We oftentimes, the enemy will get involved, the flesh will get involved, misconstrue things, get things amiss. But it's amazing to me, not only in 7, how it finishes up from 6, and it's connected with finances and blessings and God being able to get things over to you. It's like the conduit. It's not like God repels and says, oh, you made a mistake. It's just that when there's a conduit that's always open with love, there's nothing to inhibit him to get things over to us. Can you see that? Amen. He says in chapter 6, or we're there, give, verse 38, and it shall be given. We've come to a place now that we understand this isn't an offering. This is love. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, wherewithal it shall be measured to you again. What he's saying there is this, that because he said, love your enemies, do good to them that despitefully use you. When they take from you, now this could be brother or sister, or this could be somebody in the world. When you're holding up the standard of your Father, when you're holding up the blood in essence, and not you being the one that is judging them, then that gives your Father the right to go after them through your intercession. It also gives him the right as your Father to do what he wants to do all along. You're not earning it. He always wants to do this, But the conduit is open there for him to get over to you all the provision necessary for you to live your life. And whatever anybody takes from you when you're holding up the blood. You know, amazing enough, I always looked at that as a picture of like, okay, somebody stabbed you in the back as if like you were in a business deal. Now, that's apropos. I mean, that's easy enough to understand. You know, they were a sinner or they were a Christian and acted like a sinner. Could be either. And you didn't take them to court or you didn't, you know, when, once you saw that they just weren't going to reason with you, you just said, okay, you know, you just let them know that you just chose it was going to be okay. You chose to forgive them. Or however you communicated with that, but you did not leave it in a place where you judged them and said, look, this is worth a rent in our relationship. Somehow you showed them love of God, however it was in words or in action. But that's not just it. It goes into so many different aspects. And I don't know what yours is, but I can tell you this. I can tell you that if you are on the path of love, most all of you are going to get and probably have already served in that capacity where that the greatest thing that you've been praying for is that person's salvation, or maybe at that moment when things happened, you didn't know that you were going to have to pray for their salvation or even a turnaround in a Christian's life. And it did not appear to you that maybe this met the 638 criteria, that if you offer to them love, this is what his promise. And I think I should read this promise to you again because it's a powerful promise. And we shouldn't go without learning it and understanding. If I offer up the blood of Jesus, if I give love when I have been done in, particularly he was talking about financially, this is what he says. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give, might not be that man, but men shall give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet, wherewithal it shall be measured to you again. I remember a number of years ago, and God got this verse across to me because I saw it more like in the business sense or just open financial, like they owed you money and then they wouldn't pay you, or they got a loan and they wouldn't. Years ago, somebody was doing something really bad to somebody that I loved that was really close to me. And they weren't holding up their obligation to that person. And I stepped in. I had the privilege to step in and pay that person, the person being defrauded, their bills for a long time, a good while. Somewhere in that, and I wasn't searching for I need to be rewarded for this. But I remember God in the middle of it taking me, and it's almost like sometimes we get to, you know, we love him and our motivation, as the more you go into him, is like, you know, the greatest thing that you want is motivation. I mean, that's the greatest thing that you want. You want your heart perfected. It's the why I do things now is more important to me than what I do. It's the why I do it is to me. And that's in my relationship with the Lord. But it's like he had to take my face and say, look, do you understand what I'm planning to do? And I saw that while I was meeting this one person's need, I was fulfilling an obligation that they should be doing for this other person. At the same time, I was allowing myself not to curse this other person, but hold the blood of Jesus up to them and love them through whatever they were going through and whatever they were not doing. And I heard the Holy Spirit teach me. I heard my father teach me. He said, son, whatever you have to give during this time. And he was the one that, because I didn't know how I was going to give during that time, you know, through my finances and meet their needs as well. Whatever you have to give, I promise you, based on this, I'm going to give it all back, and it's going to be so much more that it's going to be pressed down, shaken together, running over. And I said, okay, if that's the deal, I'll receive it. Okay, I'll receive it. And you know, he has. And you know, the greatest thing is, those other parties have come in, and it's just wonderful. It's just a wonderful thing. But many of you have had to make those kind of decisions where things, obligations by other people were not fulfilled. And you had to say, okay, either I can get upset over stuff, and it's easy to do, or else I can say, okay, it's not worth them going to hell, or it's not worth me losing my peace. Here's the promise, 6:38. Look at 11, chapter 11. Simple stuff, but isn't it powerful? It's so powerful. He says this. This is concerning the man that came to the other man at midnight. I won't read all of it, but look at verse 9, because it's right in, it's the same words, same kind of, same speech in the same type of parable. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And him that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? And if he ask him a fish, will he give him for the fish a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Hallelujah. Praise God. And going right back to Matthew chapter 7 and reading what Jesus said concerning seeing how all those things really just tie into judgment or not judging and his ability to get things over to us. When he says this, ask in verse 7, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. What is he asking for? What is he seeking for? He's asking for the same thing, whether it's a splinter here or bread in chapter 11 of Luke. It's still the same thing. It's, God, I need grace. I need grace to walk past this, but I want to be able to help them. I want to help them recover. And here's the amazing part. I guess to me, one of the things that I saw really clear this afternoon as I was looking at this, when it says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearl before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. I think for a while I've understood that when we speak openly, when we ourselves have something that's yet not changed or been healed inside of us, we give opportunity for the enemy to come and wreak havoc in our life. But I saw also that what Jesus was really talking of, part of what he was talking about here was one of the greatest things that we have on this earth is our ability to make intercession. It's not just the Word of God. I mean, sure, there's a Word, there's Logos to go and say, but I think that there's very little times where you actually just say something to somebody. Those times are few and far between. Very few and far between. The real ministry of reconciliation is in the asking and the knocking and the seeking. And when you step out beyond that and try to do something in yourself, you've cast all of that preciousness into a miry pit that really is not going to reap anything anyway. You just took it on yourself. to do something. And the preciousness is you've got this intimacy between you and God behind closed doors, and you're seeking and knocking and all that's going on. And that's so precious to Him. I don't think we understand how precious our ministry of intercession is and our asking for one another. So I think it's a valuable lesson for us to be able to look and say, look, you know, we've all done it, and there's grace and there's love and there's forgiveness and stuff. But it makes me all the more say, look, hold up, pull the reins in. If you're ministering behind closed doors, if you do get an opportunity and the Holy Spirit does come up inside of you and you know it's Him and your heart beats fast and you have that feeling and you go, I got to, okay, it's going to be so swole up, if I can say that, with love and compassion, that it'll be the right time and the right moment. Otherwise, keep your pearls to yourself. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask you to listen. And whether it's tonight or any time, I'm just asking the intercessors to just, well, you're already doing it. I don't have to do that. You're already lifting up, praying for the better things. And how many of you know that we follow what we say? We've been saying it for years on Friday night. God meets and supplies all the needs, and that we have everything we need for this revival. Praise God. Father, we bless You. We give You all the praise. First of all, Lord, we just thank You that You meet all of theirs and that You meet the needs of this house. We bless You, Father. We thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. And we bless all these people in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.